Robert Sobolowski can't hear. Robert Sobolowski.
Great, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good, okay, yes. Great, okay. All right. You have the flowers in the background, so this is the Kabbalah Torah still in the air. In the, I don't know whether they're saying Tachon or not, but it's still in the air. So tonight's sugya is on the one hand going to connect some dots of things that we spoke about a little bit in the past. One or two of these nakudos we even brought up a little bit on Shavuos night. I see some familiar faces from that, but even then it was sometime between the hours of 12 and 4, so I think we can give a drop chazar as well. But I want to really focus on, I think the English title for the Shia probably encompassed it better than even the Hebrew title. And that was Kibra V'Eim and Life's Decisions. That there are many, many decisions that come up during the course of one's life. Very often, most of those life decisions are made within a span of about 5 to 10 years or so. And very often, there is a little bit of a conflict. And there are different opinions, chilukei deis, between parents and children, as to what kind of decisions to make. Unless one thinks that these problems just started, you know, in America in the last 30 years, these shas back in the days of the Gemara, back, some say even back in the days of the Avos, these are old issues that take a little bit of a finesse, both in terms of halacha and machshav and midas tovos, to try to figure out how we're supposed to act in any of these giving situations. I'll preface by saying, I think it's something that I said in the Shia on Monday night and Shavuos as well, that just because something is halachically permissible doesn't necessarily mean that it's practically advisable. So there may be certain things that, technically speaking, are quote-unquote mutter to do, but they may not necessarily be the best advice to do. So again, we'll try to develop it as we go on. So the first of the issues that, as we all aware of, that Kibra V'Eim very often comes into conflict with Talmud Torah in many, many different ways. It could be a direct conflict, it could be a more subtle conflict, but there are sometimes decisions that have to be made, and the factors that have to be weighed are Talmud Torah and Kibra V'Eim. So the sugya begins with a very famous statement in the first of the Maamar Kamos, the Maseches Megillah, Amar Rav Amar Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Amar Marsa, Gadol Talmud Torah Yaseh B'Kibra V'Eim, that Talmud Torah is greater than the mitzvah of Kibra V'Eim. How do we know this? A very, very strange source. Shekolos and Shalom Shal Yaakov Avidu B'Veis Eivel O'Nenash, Yomamar Lama Nimnu Shneisav Shal Yishmach Dal Yachzeh Shalos Shal Yaakov. The Gemara is making a whole bunch of assumptions in the statement. The Gemara is assuming that if you make all the calculations of the years, exactly how old Yaakov was from the time that literally from he was born until the time he comes down to Mitzrayim many, many years later, so there seems to be a missing gap. There seems to be 14 years that are unaccounted for. What led us to believe this missing gap is the age of Yishmael, because the Torah reports to us how old Yishmael was when he died. And the Gemara's assumption is, why is that important? I mean, why is that significant to make it to the Torah Kadosh, exactly how old Yishmael was? The Gemara says that it's not objectively important, but it does enable us to make that proper calculation, because when Yishmael dies is exactly when Esav takes the daughter of Yishmael, as the Pesukim say in the end of Parashas Toldos, which gives us an inkling as to when the brachas were, which sets into motion the whole calculation as to the age of Yaakov. So the bottom line is, because of the Pesukim about Yishmael, so we are now come to the realization that there are 14 years missing. And Chazal had a tradition that those 14 years that were missing were the years that Yaakov Avinu actually went to the yeshiva, went back to Beis Eiver. Chazal are very medayik in the Losh, they say Beis Eiver, they left Shem out of the equation, because if you figure out, oh, so Shem was no longer alive. So it was the official name of the yeshiva. Again, I'm not sure they took down off the plaque, Yeshiva Shem Eiver, but Lamai Eiver was the yeshiva at the time. So Gemara says that from the fact that Yaakov Avinu spent those years in Beis Eiver, and he was not punished for those years, unlike the other years where he was punished, where he suffered greatly what he thought was the loss of Yosef, corresponding to the years that he was separated from his parents, which is, again, even that is very difficult to understand, because Lamaise was his parents who sent him on that trip. So that's already another loaded question in terms of Chumash and Hashkafa. But the Gemara was working with the assumption that the years that he was on the trip in Beis Lavan and returning, etc., he was punished for. But the years in Yeshiva, he was given a freebie for. The reason is, this teaches us the Din L'Doros, that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibra V'Eim. How does this express itself, Lamaise? So the Shulchan Aruch, in the second of the Maamar Kamos, quotes a discussion from the Rishon. We're ready about the following. The end of the first line. Talmud Shirotzel Alechas L'Mokam Acher. If a student, the Talmud, wants to go to another place to learn, He is certain that he's going to be successful, more successful in his learning by that particular Rebbe. One could only, imagine the lashon that they used in those days. I like that Rebbe's derech halimud. I like his hashkafa. I like his prasad. Whatever you plug in, whatever words you think were used in the Middle Ages, but I think the phenomena still exists, of course, the Adayim as well. And the father doesn't want to go. Why doesn't he want to go? He's afraid of pogroms, blood libels. That's what malilim and lilas dam. It's dangerous. That's the basic reason. He's afraid for the physical safety of his child. So here it's interesting. This is not, we're not having chalukah days about the importance of learning. The father also wants him to learn. He wants him to learn local. Not because the father, doesn't want Rashiva to control, he doesn't want this, wasn't get to flip out. Those are modern day terms. But there they were afraid of real things. I always say that when you live in it, not that we should ever Khalil go back to those days, but when you live in a world where there are real things, so then somehow all the little things don't become so important. You live in a world where Hashem, we're fairly comfortable, so all of a sudden we become all the little things take on such greater proportions. So we just whatever it was, whether it's the world of the 1300s of the blood libels of the world of today, the father, the mother don't want the child to learn that particular yeshiva. So the Shulchan Aruch is explicitly that the child is not obligated to listen. Why is he not obligated to listen? So this is a corollary of the statement the Gemara Megillah makes. The Talmud Torah is greater than Kibra Ve'eh. Now, this is a little bit of a startling corollary because this is not the parent telling the child not to learn. This is not the conversations that we're used to hearing. Kid wants to go back for Shona Dalit and the parent says that he has man to start college. That's not the conversation here. Everyone agrees the kid's going to sit and learn Yom V'Layel. It's just a question of where. So why is that also called Talmud Torah greater than Kibra Ve'eh? I would say Efshel Kaim Shneim. Let him learn local and the father will be happy in Shalva Yisrael. So clearly the answer lies in the way the Shulchan Aruch depicted the case that the child claims she'irasim in brach betamuda. The child really believes that he's going to be more successful in learning there. And this is actually a throwback to the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara talks about that idea that even if I'm going to learn here and I'm going to learn there, but the mere fact that I really truly believe that I'm going to be more successful there, that's important. That's a factor. And that may actually impact on my learning. And a person does have a certain chush, a certain intuition that he's actually going to learn better. So, of course, this becomes very, very tricky because what if the child's quote-unquote request or demand is I want to go to Mokom Ploni to learn. The parents don't want him to. And the child says, yeah, because the learning is so much better. The chavrusas are so much better. Everything is so much better. And then when you question him a little bit more seriously, the learning is so much better, but it's closer to Burger's Bar. It's got a better the courts there are a little bit better. They have better tulim. There are a lot of other factors. So are those other factors also part of this cheshbon? And last I checked, eating Burger's Bar is not doing kibra ve'eh. Tulim are not doing kibra ve'eh. So you have to be very, very careful. So this can sometimes become a very sensitive issue when the child is presenting, so to speak, that the learning is going to be so much better in yeshiva X over yeshiva Y. So that takes a little bit of a third party sometimes to be a little bit objective to see, does this, the modern day scenario meet the criteria that's being described here in the Shulchan Aruch? But the Ikaron, the idea being Talmud Torah is actually Doichei Kibra Ve'eh. Then the Pesachei Tshuva on the third of the Maamar Kamos, so quotes from Acharonim as to some possible ramifications of this statement. Shubotech Shira, Kasim Vesevech Mune Daniel, Tzaviyad Nira Duan Dina Fim Sufik Lo Shem Yira Sivim Bracha Mutar. Very often it's a hot call. The child's going to say, Dad, I'm telling you for sure I'm going to learn better. She's like, I don't know. It's just that, my older brother learned better there. My cousin learned there. My roommate from last year learned there. I'll give you half of that. Maybe, Kenzai. So if there's a real bona fide latest or suffering, that's also important. Take that into consideration as well. Because of all, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes another from the Tshuva Chalimur Daniel. Echanei wrote to his papa, they said, Knesses, Shemishpalim, Shem Yosef, Kavana. Forget about yeshivas and learning Torah, shuls and davening. Guy says, I don't want to daven in my parents' shul. He said, why? Because davening's too quick. I want to daven in the yeshiva shulvinyan. I want to daven in the quote unquote from a shul. I want to daven with people who are serious davening. So the emo mocha was his mother. Now she doesn't want that. She wants his kids. She wants to get home with shul in time for lunch. Whatever cheshbon is on. So ain't tzach lishmola. So come to this Chachamim and says, you want to know Me'ikra Din, are you Mechurif to listen, not Mechurif to listen? Because just as a parent doesn't have a shlik, it doesn't have authority in your learning of Torah, you don't have your authority in your Avodas Hashem in general. So even though, again, these are not cases that the parents tell the child not to daven. This is not a parent telling the child not to learn. This is a parent telling a child to daven and learn their style rather than what the child thinks is the better of their style. So these get very, very sensitive. Obviously, one has to use a lot of sechel yashar, as we started off by saying. Not everything is mutter. No, notice, it didn't say osu l'shmo, ain't tzarech l'shmo. There's a big, big jump from osu to ain't tzarech. You know, mashallah, a boy's away in yeshiva, a whole year holds man. Comes back for Ben's mom, and there are two shuls in town. And his father davens in one. His father has been looking for the whole year to daven him, and he announces his first day Pesach, I'm not davening there. I'm davening by the more. Shul's going to end at 11:30. That's what's going to end at 10:30. So, again, Sechel Yosha. You have to figure out when, how to balance some of these things. Then the Pesach Yeshiva calls also another very, very important consideration. The fourth of the Rambam comes. Talmud Torah Gadol Hanadafkin Tzarech Lechutz Le'ir says the Pesach Teshuva, but many of the Murim, the Talmud Torah overrides Kibra Veim. That's if the parent is making such a demand that I want you to stay home, stay away from that yeshiva that you think you can be most successful in. That's a long term kind of a Talmud Torah that's being asked to sacrifice for Kibra Veim, and that's not necessary. However, Avalim Ubiyir, I'm learning across the street, and Tzarech Le'ir says, and the father calls me and he asks for a favor. So you have to go. You have to close your gemara and go. That's a regular din of the klal of Isaac mitzvah. Potter mitzvah do not apply to Talmud Torah. The Mefarshim explained if Isaac mitzvah, potter mitzvah would apply to Talmud Torah, then you would never do mitzvahs. I wake up in the morning, I start to learn. I don't have to daven, don't have to put on tefillin, don't have to hear shofar, don't have to eat matzah, don't have to sit tzedakah, don't have anything. I just sit and learn all day. That's great to learn all day, but the gemara says that if a person only learns and doesn't do the mitzvahs, Mutav lo shlo nivra. Hashem Baruch doesn't need that. Hashem Baruch has plenty of malachim in the siftish derekiyah who know how to do mitzvahs also. The only reason why we got Torah was because we're basim adam. So we don't do the mitzvahs maisias. So our learning is not in such a very desirable. So in terms of the klal of Isaac the mitzvah, a person's learning, a mitzvah comes your way. If the mitzvah could easily be done by somebody else, say for example, I'm in the middle of learning, and somebody comes knocking on the base medish and saying, we have this tremendous tzedakah campaign that's got to be done. We need you to go knock on people's doors to go collect tzedakah. So I have a right to say, is there anybody else available? Could somebody else? The guys are playing basketball. They're not doing, you know, mitzvah right now. They're not learning right now. Let them go through the tzedakah campaign. So if it's not an actual accommodation, then I shouldn't stop my learning. Let somebody else do the tzedakah. But what if I'm the best guy? They'll never do as good a campaign as I can. So then I have to close my gemara and do it and go collect the tzedakah. So by kibud avim also, my parent calls, we have in the middle of learning a Tosfos, I have no right to say, sorry, dad, Talmud Torah is greater than it says in the Maariv Makom in Maseches Megillah. No, you close your gemara, you go and sure, and you come back. So the bochrim have to know this Pesach Teshuva. Maybe it would be better sometimes if the parents don't know this Pesach Teshuva, because sometimes the parents have to make a din b'chesed. Also, the parent has to be sensitive. That not to always, they shouldn't have the attitude, my child's only learning anyway, so therefore I can disturb him for any single thing. So if your parents really, really, really want you to go to that family simcha, so then you should go, close your gemara, and you go to the family simcha. But the parents have to use common sense. It's not necessarily always the best strategy that my yeshiva bachar has to go to his third cousin twice removed bas mitzvah. Like, it's not like that. It's not always ma'akev. So you have to make a cheshbon. You have to figure out, like, what is appropriate, what's not appropriate. Remember the Mashkiach in Kaviyad Rivlin? So he used to, he had a very, one of his favorite sayings was, Chazal say, Ein lecha bin chared al mish osik b'tam Torah. That, you would never even dream of calling your child's, in the middle of doing a surgery. He's in the middle of a law case, in the middle of a legal case. Can you do me a favor? Drop everything and come help me for now. But the son is learning a car, somehow he has all the time in the world. So you have to be careful. So parents have to be careful not to overstep their bounds into that, but children have to be careful not to hide behind the Gemara and say that, well, it's been a time of and I don't have to keep rabbit. So one, everyone's got to know how to know the balances properly.
Yes, parents have a big sibling, brother or sister.
Yeah, so again, so that it may be technically meet the criteria of Efshar Adei Acherim, and that may not lead to the greatest Shalom Bayis when, you have to know the family dynamics. If your brother and sister are so thrilled and that's their chelik and Limud HaTorah to have their young siblings sitting behind the Gemara, great. But if they're like, rumbling, behind the scenes, like who does that, that little Shibach think he is? So then, Shalom Bayis is also more. So as you can well tell, we'll see that Talmud Torah and Kibbutz Avim, although there is a technical hierarchy, it's subtle and there are nuances to it, and you have to try to understand the halacha and the machshav and practically how to put it into place. The next issue that comes up, other life decisions, is where a person is going to live, particularly whether a person is going to live in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz. So where does Kibbutz Avim and living in Eretz Yisrael, how do those two very, both very obviously very important things, how do they balance one against the other? So the Gemara tells us the story in the fifth of the Mar Mekamos, in Masechet Kiddushin. Rav Asi havalei hau ima zekena. Rav Asi had an older mother. Amrlei, she said to him, ba'ina tachshitin, I need some jewelry. I said, okay. So avadla. So he got her some jewelry. He made her some jewelry, whatever it was. Ba'ina gavra. So she said, I want to get married. She said, I need a husband. So so he said, nah, I love. Okay, well, look, yeah, we'll go to Wire Connects, we'll figure out who's available. We don't know how old the woman was, but she seemed to have been on the older end. Then she said, Ba'ina gavra de shapra kavaseich. She said, I need someone just like you. Only like my son, as someone who's as handsome as my son. So he realized that you know, she obviously wasn't 100% aware of what was going on. And the Gemara says that Shafka Ba'azal Arad Yisrael. So he left. So he left and he went towards Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, the Rishonim said, what do you mean he left? What exactly happened to Kibbutz Avim? So who's buying our jewelry now? Who's bringing our food now? So the Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara, says, it is obvious that he put somebody else in charge. When he doesn't just walk away from the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim. So the Rambam writes, based on this Gemara, that if a parent reaches the point where it is impossible to take care of them properly, and again, we weren't there, we have a tipa min hayam of the story, but obviously Rav Asi felt that his mother had reached a point where it was just physically not able to take care of her. The Rambam writes that a child would be permitted to have somebody else take care of the parent's needs if that will be ultimately the best interest of the parents. Of course, this sets the stage for some very, very serious, heart-wrenching decisions in terms of sometimes, and again, obviously this is a case-by-case discussion, sometimes a situation arises where a child's pasha can't take care of the parent. For physical reasons, for mental reasons, emotional reasons, whatever the case may be. So one has to figure out when is the appropriate point where one can delegate responsibility. Obviously, to leave without delegating responsibility, without setting up a system for the parent is obviously out of the question. But even the setting up a system is far from partial when and what parameters they'll set.
Why does the shofar of a seich mean that she was seen up?
Yeah, so again, that's the problem sometimes with the stories in the Gemara. It's not a problem. It's that we get like an inkling of the story, and we weren't there. Like, we don't, you know, we really don't care for stories. So we're not exactly sure. Clearly, Rav Asi drew the conclusion that she was seen on.
She wanted a good
shidduch. Yeah, okay, but yeah, she may have been, you know, 98 years old. You know, we're not really sure. The Gemara never fills in the details as to what happened at that point. So bottom line is, so Shom de Kozla of Asrei, so that he started to go there, comes to Eretz Yisrael. And I'm sorry, the other way around, he was going to leave Eretz Yisrael. So also, Rabbi Yochanan, I'm like, Ma'alat Seis Meretz Me'aretz L'Chutz La'aretz. So he said that he came to Eretz Yisrael, and now he realized that his mother is coming to find him. I guess she wasn't that old. She found a Jewish mother will find, even at 98, she'll find a way to get there. So she's coming out after him. So now, right, he comes to Rabbi Yochanan, he says, can I leave Eretz Yisrael? So he didn't explain why he wants to go. So he said, I'm really awesome. Rabbi Yochanan Kitch, walk out of Eretz Yisrael for no reason. Likras Ibamal. So he rephrased the question. He said, I want to go see my mother. So I'm like, any idea? So Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether it's appropriate if you leave Eretz Yisrael to go visit your mother. So Israch, Pursa, Hadrasa, then Rabbi Yochanan comes back a second. I'm sorry, Rav Asi comes back a second time to ask the question. I'm like, Asi, Israch, Tseisa, let's say. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Asi, you want to go? Hamokim is Yechzich Lishon. Go visit your mother and come back. So it's very, very unclear what the Maskana Sekhmar is. Clearly, Rav Asi was in a dilemma that he had made his way to Eretz Yisrael, and now he realizes that his mother's on the way to come see him, and he has the opportunity to do some form, some shape or form, Kibbutz Avim. He's weighing now Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael. Again, the problem is we don't know the details. We have no idea. It was Rav Asi thought he had to leave Eretz Yisrael forever. Do you think he's going away back for 6 months, back to Babel, for a week? The whole thing is very, very unclear. That's why the post can throw their hands up and say, all we see from the story is that these are two factors, Eretz Yisrael versus Kibbutz Avim, and it's very unclear which one takes precedence over the other. So some of the rayas that are brought are interesting ones because they literally predate the Torah itself. They predate Kabbalah Torah. One of the rayas that the Pesukim discuss is based on a Rashi of Chumash. In the end, the Parshas Noach of all places, in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, where the Torah says, "V'yomas Terach b'charon." The very, very end of Parshas Noach says that Terach dies. And then Hashem says to Avram, go to Eretz Yisrael. The problem is, if you do the math, like we did the math before about the age of Yaakov, do the math here, Terach was very, very much alive when Avram went to Eretz Yisrael. We just ate up the years in the end of Parshas Noach. There were decades that Avram had left Terach behind in Haran. And yet when you read the Pesukim, it sounds like Terach died, Avram finishes sitting Shivan, and he boom, then he gets the Nevuah to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's not all what happened chronologically. So Rashi comments, based on the Medrash, it's the third line into Rashi, towards the end of the line. The Lama Hikdim HaKos Misosho Techlit Siyash Lavrom. It's Pasha Mislif, chronologically it's not true. Shelo Yehadavim Mefursam Lekulam V'yom Lokiyam Avram Eskavon Aviv Sheinichu Zachim V'Halachlai. Because the Torah didn't want to advertise, didn't want to publicize what really happened. Maybe I shouldn't give the Shia, I should talk about it. But what really happened was, Avram left, Terach remained behind for many, many years. Again, I don't know what arrangements Avram made, but I'm not sure what agencies he called, what the setup was, but clearly Avram left his father back behind in Haran, and for many, many years, for decades, and went to Eretz Yisrael. So those are the facts. The question is, what conclusion, halachically, if any, should we draw from those facts? So some want to bring a right. Oh, you see from here that Eretz Yisrael, going to Eretz Yisrael is greater than keeping up it. And others say the exact opposite is true. Why? This was a special tzivui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Amba, Yoyim HaShem Lav Lech Lucha Me'artzucha, if you get a direct tzivui, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls you in the middle of the night and tells you, go to Eretz Yisrael, then you go, even if your parents say no. But short of that, just because the Ramban tells you that that's one of the Tanya mitzvahs living in Eretz Yisrael, maybe that's not the same as the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, but Yoyim Hashem al Avram Lechol Me'artzucha. So again, it's very, very hard. In general, ain lemeid min adrush. It's always very difficult. We don't really like to bring halachic rayas from a Gadic statement, from a Medrash kind of a statement. And we're not even sure what the raya would be. Some bring a raya one way, some bring a raya the other way. So at the end of the day, we have two Mamar Chazal that shed some light on this topic, but not all that much. We have a Gemara in Kedushin that we're not sure what Ravasi, did he get the green light from Yochanan? And if so, we're not even sure how long he got it. And then we have the story about the Avram and Terach, and we're not really sure what conclusion we should draw. So what should the din be? If we had to analyze the Shal on our own, so putting aside the Mamar Chazal, what would we think the din would be? So the Chora, we should plug in the cloud that we spoke a little bit about the Shavuos night, about when a parent tells you to violate an Aveira. What is the din? So the Gemara says explicitly in Maseches Yevamos, a Yachal Amal Aviv Chalos HaShabbos, a parent says to you on Shabbos, cook me a steak, and I'll let him listen. It says, Ish Ima Vyavti Ravish Abtsasa Tishmaru, Shmir Shabbos, is more important, Ani Hashem, Kulchem Chayam Bechvaydi. So the Rambam, when he formulates that halacha, writes that if a parent tells you to do an Aveira, you're not allowed to listen. If a parent tells you not to do a mitzvah, even the other direction, he tells you, don't put on tefillin today, don't shake a lulav, don't eat a shofar, you're not allowed to listen. And the Rambam adds on, even if it's only the Rabbanan, the parent tells you to eat bishlachim. The parent tells you, don't light chayfa candles. Whatever the parent tells you, that's an outright flagrant violation of halacha, bein aseh, bein lo aseh, bein deraita, bein derabanan, you're not allowed to listen to the parent. The Chag of the Post can point out, what if it's not a violation of halacha? That's a lot trickier. Then that has to be analyzed case by case. Is that really a violation, quote unquote, of the Dini HaTorah? But if something is against a clear-cut mitzvah in the Torah, a parent has no authority. So l'chora, the answer to our question depends upon, when I want to go live in Eretz Yisrael, my parent says no, are they in effect telling me not to perform a mitzvah? So the Ramban counts the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as one of the tag mitzvahs. The Ramban is very clear. The Ramban writes that this mitzvah applies bein bizman hazeh, bein bizman hamikdash, bein bizman hazeh. It's a mutl al kolach v'yechem Yisrael. It's a mitzvah l'dayrus, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the truth is the Rambam doesn't count it in the tag mitzvahs, which is a little bit tricky. Why not? The Rambam speaks about it. He talks how important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. He tried himself and then ended up never had to leave and then go back to Egypt with no food. But the Rambam does acknowledge that's the significance of living in Eretz Yisrael, and yet the Rambam doesn't count it literally as one of the mitzvahs for whatever technical reason. But the Ramban does, and many other Mishnayim do follow suit with the Ramban. So l'chora, when a parent tells you, I refuse, I do not insist that you live in America, you have to live in America, I do not let you live in Eretz Yisrael, l'chora, that's like a parent telling a child not to do a mitzvah, which the child l'chora doesn't listen to the parent. However, it's not so simple, because it's not clear this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, what the nature of this mitzvah is all about. We spoke about this also a little bit in a different context on Shavuos night. that there are really two different kinds of mitzvahs in the Torah. There's a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah kiyumis. A mitzvah chiyuvis means you have to do it. If you don't do it, you did something wrong. So Moshe, you have to eat matzah on Pesach night. And if you didn't, you mevatel a mitzvah. Then there's mitzvah kiyumis. That means on the third day of Chol HaMoed, it's a very nice thing to eat matzah. The more matzah, the better it is. The greater the mitzvah there is. And if you didn't, if you chose to eat the potato chips all week, so no loss. You didn't gain, but no loss. That if you not eating matzah, it's not a bitl, a mitzvah. It's a kiyum. It's a kiyumis after the first night. So what is the nature of the mitzvah of living in Israel going to Rabban? It's a mitzvah chiyuvis. If you don't do it, then you're out. You blew it. You're not a mitzvah or not. It's a wonderful thing to do, and we should try to encourage you at all possible. And those who do it, ashreichem. But to say that someone who's living in Chutzot is a mevatel, it's a mitzvah, that's very hard to say. So this was machlokes in Beli Apasim. But Moshe was of the opinion that it's a mitzvah kiyumis, and there were some poskim of the opinion it was actually a mitzvah chiyumis. So the chora, that should be the pivotal point here in terms of kibravei. If a parent tells you, don't do what the Torah says you must do, then you cannot listen to a parent. If the parent tells you, don't do what would be a beautiful hiddur and a beautiful kiyum and a beautiful, lefrimishur sadin kind of a thing, so then you have to weigh that beautiful kiyum mitzvah against the fifth of the Aseres Nedibros, and it's not so portioned anymore. So if you take the view like Ramesha, that living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumis, and a parent puts their foot down and says, I don't want you to live in Eretz Yisrael, so according to Ramesha's cheshbon, l'chora, you shouldn't live in Eretz Yisrael. According to those who disagree with Moshe, who said that it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, then the answer is presumably you should live in Eretz Israel. Yeah, it's very hard. Whenever people like push me on this topic, I said I don't want to be yesh no dorish ein no mekayim. So someone who lives in Chutz Laaretz for whatever reason, justified or unjustified, I don't feel it's appropriate for me to talk too much about this topic. Usually, when I'm in Eretz Israel, the summers or a visitor in the year, so inevitably we have questions and answers with the Talmidim. So very often, Eretz Yisrael took a questions come up. So I always hide behind that response and say, I'm not the right person to answer this question. I can't give you, that perfect appraisal as to what the correct answer that would be. I can tell you, I can explain to you if you want to. I'm not going to give it in a public shiur. If you want to explain to you privately why I'm here, so I can explain to you why I'm here, whether it'll, hopefully in the Beis and Shemala they'll accept the explanation. But from a pure halachic vantage point, it's not simple. It's not at all simple. When parents have a demand, and the one on the other hand, the child wants to learn, wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. So we can already see that some of these decisions that are really, really life decisions, life-changing decisions, are sometimes fraught with controversy. And Talmud Torah, so this is an old question, goes back to the days of Yaakov Avinu. Dira in Eretz Yisrael goes back, perhaps the days of Avraham Avinu. These shahs go back before Matan Torah even. And the third is the issue of nisuin, the issue of marriage. So also has a truth in where the Chumash talks about when Esav married someone whose parents didn't like, but we're not going to bring something good right from Esav. So that's maybe we write from Esav, we're not supposed to do. So here, if you take a look at the seventh of the Maamar Kamos, so at the very, very end of the Ramah, in the seventh of the Maamar Kamos, the second line from the bottom, Av Meicha B'Bein, Misa is Isha Sheach, it's B'Bein, Ein Tzach L'Shma La'Av. We call this also Shavuos night, that if a parent protests, doesn't want the child to marry a certain woman, so then the child, technically speaking, does not have to listen. This is something that I can definitely have to reiterate. We said at the beginning that the Rambam is telling you that's permissible. The Rambam is not guaranteeing you a life of marital and familiar family harmony. The Rambam is just telling you that it's mutter to do it, and then you have to proceed in your own caution. Why is it mutter exactly? So based on a Maharik, so the Maharik actually offers three reasons why it's mutter. One reason is a throwback to what we said before, that the parent is telling you not to do a mitzvah. What mitzvah? Not to get married. That's a mitzvah, satara. Wait, the parents are telling you not to get married. The parents tell you to marry who they want you to marry. So the Maharik explains, basically, the Gemara says kedusha. The Gemara says that if you get married and things don't work out, there's going to be a lot of other favors. There's going to be a lot of other chaveres that can be violated in the process of Nebuchadnezzar getting divorced. So therefore, the Gemara says, Shavitiskan al Baila, that's what the Gemara says. Well, you have to see the woman before you get married, just to make sure that you like her. Otherwise, if you're not going to like her, you're going to violate the Hafta Recha Kamocha and half a dozen other problematic Yisurim. So the Maharik says that for a child to set himself up in a situation where he's going to marry the person he doesn't want to marry, that's not going to bode well for his Meron Lechaver, with him and his wife. So that's a tenth amount of being asked and being pushed into the corner to violate Averis. In addition, the Maharik says, and there's a throwback to something that we spoke a lot about earlier in the year, that it's not at all clear that a parent has even the authority to ask the child to do anything when it's not necessarily the Tovas Ha'av or the Aim. When the parent tells you to do something for other reasons that don't impact on their service, the parent's not asking for a cup of tea. The parent's not asking you to help you drive to the airport. The parent is asking you to do something about your own life. The emotional parent comes to the child and says, I insist that you go to medical school. And the child says, I don't want to be a doctor. The parent says, what do you mean? So many posts can say, not true. Unfortunately, not true. There is no such requirement. There is no such halacha. Again, so we spoke a lot about this on Shavuos night. Then there's a third reason the Ma'ariv gives, is that the halacha is you don't have to spend your money for kibbutz av'im. So kavacham, you don't have to spend your pain and aggravation and emotional cost is quite a significant cost as well. So for a variety of reasons, the halacha is, on the basic circumstances, that one does not have to listen to a parent. There may be some exceptions in the world of halacha as well, and then in the world of practicality, obviously a Rav who is consulting this area has to use a lot of common sense besides just invoking a Ma'arik and a Ramah and calling it a day. So the bottom line is that yes, Kibbutz av'im is a very, very significant mitzvah, one of the Yetzer HaTzad Dibros, and yes, we've been learning about it for the last couple of months, and sometimes it may take a second to some of the other very significant things that were involved in our life, be it Talmud Torah, Dibur Eretz Yisrael, Nisu. These are all very, very important things, and sometimes in life you have clashes between multiple important goals, and you have to figure out how to navigate this world. Okay. We'll keep posted in terms of how many more weeks we have left. It's in terms of the shiurim, I have a simcha one night. But there aren't that many Wednesday nights left until the end of the year, whatever the end of the year means. So we'll keep you posted.
Okay. Motivation, like whether it's emotional versus I don't want you doing that, like lahachas to say I don't want you. No,